everybody, on another episode of the Mind Body Marathon. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about shockwave or extracorporeal shockwave treatment, which is basically known as shockwave. And this technique is becoming rather popular in the rehab world, and especially the sports rehab world. I think over the last 2 to 3 years, it's really kind of, you know, become a little bit more mainstream, and definitely over the last year, it's hit a tipping point. And so I wanted to throw out an episode on this because we've been doing it for a couple years here at Ohio Sports Chiropractic and Rehab. Been very familiar with it as a technique through the Olympic Training Center for quite some time. And I think that there are some things that I want to kind of discuss and some benefits and some things on what to expect so that anybody that doesn't know anything about this technique can get some great ideas about it. But basically, let's kind of hit it from a conceptual standpoint. Shockwave is different, markedly different than a percussion gun. And I've actually had patients sort of think of this, or like a massage gun. So a lot of patients come in and they're like, well, why is that different than, you know, my Hypervolt that I might use, which is an external pulse massage gun? It's markedly different. And anybody that's had shockwave knows that the feeling is markedly different. There is, the interesting thing about it is that, first of all, there's no electrical pulse that runs through you. So meaning there's a little bit of there's a gun that you have that has an internal bullet that hits the end of this metal head, and then that kicks energy into the tissue. So it's purely mechanical. It's not electrical. However, a lot of times when you first get it, it will actually kind of feel electrical. And that's just because our sensory cells in our body can't differentiate essentially the difference between a high vibration and an electrical impulse. So it kind of feels like an electrical impulse, almost like you get shocked sometimes, but it's not electrical. How it actually works is if you think of the Newton's cradle, where you have like the five balls stacked next to each other, the five silver balls, and then you like pick up one on one end and then it hits the other four balls and the other one kicks off the other end. That's how this works. The internal bullet of the gun hits the head of the device, and then that kicks energy into the tissue. And then so none of it is external. So going back to the massage gun, if I have a massage gun, the head of the massage gun moves back and forth and it literally just sends vibration through your body. That's different than a shockwave. The shockwave, all the force is absorbed into the tissue. There's no external movement of the head. And because of that, you can get, you know, 3, 4, 5 inches deep into the tissue and get a desired result. So a massage gun is literally like a drip on a faucet in terms of the amount of force that you can put in through a shockwave. If you do the math on it in a typical 8,000 pulse session that we do at the clinic here, we'll get about 2 tons of force that runs through the body. And if you push that through 8,000 pulses, it's a very jarring thing, and it's a very effective strategy at releasing tissue. But it's also, and this is one of the main things I wanted to talk about, it's not that painful. I have a lot of patients that are scared to do it because they'll go online and Reddit and, you know, the ChatGPT and these chatbots will tell them it's a decently painful experience. And I actually don't really know why that's the case. I've never been trained on that for it to be painful. I think that's just the obvious more is better mindset of maybe the doctor and the patient. But what we tell our patients is that we don't want it above a 2 or 3 out of 10. And I know there are probably some physicians out there that are saying that, yeah, maybe you need to have a little bit more of an intense signal to really get breaking up of the tissue in there. But for most, like 90-ish percent of musculoskeletal injuries, you kind of want to just hum around a 2 or 3 and get the desired result rather than just really pounding the tissue and making it a terrible experience for the patient. You know, I'm not necessarily sure you're going to get a much better desired result with that. But when we're, so what is it? What can it be used for? So it can be used for tendinopathy issues, like Achilles tendon issues, tennis elbow, plantar fasciitis. It can be used to heal stress fractures. So you can run it through and help improve bone density. You can heal contusions. You know, you can heal calcifications within a muscle. You can heal tendon, like Dupuytren's contracture, like contractures of tendons, or frozen shoulder, or adhesive capsulitis. So it's very, very broad. You can treat it with a lot of things. In fact, when it first was discovered, you know, one of the first things that was discovered and being used for was to break up kidney stones. And so when you would, basically the way it sort of works is when you put a heavy mechanical pulse through the kidney, most of the kidney cells are water. And so water just attenuates that force and there's really not much of an issue. But then if you get to an actual calcified stone, then the vibration just breaks it apart, essentially. The shockwave just breaks it apart. So within musculoskeletal systems, they found that whenever you run the shockwave like around gallbladder or kidney, that the bone in the area actually does increase in density, showing that there's some sort of piezoelectric effect of stimulating bone. So yeah, so when physicians were trying to figure out all of what it can be used for, it was interesting to track the musculoskeletal developments around gallbladder and kidney stone issues, because then they were realizing the bone was getting stronger, muscles were improving in terms of feeling, and maybe there's some back pain that got resolved when people were also doing it on kidney stones and things like that. So, you know, it's just one of those things where a lot of physicians just sort of figured out from research its effectiveness on musculoskeletal injuries. And in the 1990s, it really kind of took off because it was starting to get patented to be able to use for musculoskeletal issues, because they were finding like plantar fasciitis and frozen shoulder. It breaks up the calcified fibers and scar tissue within frozen shoulder and also within, you know, plantar fasciitis. So then if you extrapolate that out, if somebody comes in with a stress reaction or a stress fracture, we can use the technique on it. If somebody comes in with plantar fasciitis, we can obviously use the technique on it. So it's basically our heavy artillery. So we kind of get in there and we can get a great release of the tissue. And for me personally, anybody that's known me personally knows that I have had a litany of injuries, and I use it mainly on my Achilles, because I just have really trash Achilles. And I use it mainly on my knee, because my knee is really kind of beat up ever since the fall in the Grand Canyon and that I did a couple years ago. It just gets really beat up, and it's just one of those things where the shockwave just sort of gets rid of it. Now, that's another important thing, is that, you know, with degenerative joints and arthritic changes in joints, it's also shown to be very effective for that as well. But it kind of gets into the topic of, like, are we using a focused or a radial head? And so if you kind of look up shockwave, you're going to see that there's two types of shockwave. And it has to do with how the bullet hits the head. Most of the shockwaves that you hear about, the bullet's going to hit the head and it's going to disperse and create a radial energy out. And that's going to be about 90% of your musculoskeletal injuries you'll actually treat with this. But if you wanted to get a little bit more targeted and focused, then you would use the focused head. What that does, the bullet hits the end of the head and recoils back quickly. So what happens is, instead of the shockwave kicking out, the shockwave actually collapses on itself and then kicks out. So it's kind of this cool physics of this recoiling effect that allows for this, like, honing into the signal to then be more direct. And this is going to be used for really aggressive things, like if somebody has like a Dupuytren's contracture, you know, basically where their finger won't let go or something like that, then that's going to need a focused version. Or if somebody has like a bone that they're trying to heal, or like a really densely calcified, like myositis ossificans situation, or densely calcified portion of the muscle, then yes, the shockwave is going to be effective on a focused strategy for that. But you guys can all kind of do the research on how it's effective. This was more just like, it shouldn't, just throwing it out there, it shouldn't be that painful. you should almost immediately notice benefit. Like getting off the table, you should immediately feel better. A lot of times it's hard for us to, as physicians, to isolate and be able to figure out the exact amount of force that should be thrown in there. So sometimes it can be a little bit too tender, but again, we need to kick that back. And sometimes it might not be enough force. You know, I've had patients just say, like, I really need you to kick that up because I'm not feeling like I'm getting the desired result. And that's frustrating because they're paying for those pulses, and we want to make sure that we're getting the exact stimulus that we need. Now, here at Ohio Sports Chiropractic, one of the things that we do is we like to kind of throw out, we like to go after a high number of pulses and do it once a week. So we'd rather do that fashion. I know a lot of the research shows that maybe doing like 2,000 pulses a couple times a week can be an effective strategy. And I think that's especially true for some nefarious issues like a contracture or adhesive capsulitis, but something like an Achilles tendonitis or knee degeneration or a strain of a tendon or a muscle, then absolutely, you know, those situations would be better off, or we tend to get better results by going once a week with a little bit higher dose, getting up to like more like 8,000 pulses. So, you know, I think this is a really fun technique. I think as a physician that, you know, I was born into the world of being able to do ART, adjustments, soft tissue release. The advent of shockwave brings a fun new wrinkle into the treatment where we can just get very isolated and very focused on a thing. And it helps us not have to suffer through people getting marginally better with like very difficult things like plantar fasciitis or a herniated disc. And we can just throw this heavy hitter at it pretty quickly and just get the results. And with that being said, I forgot to mention this, like disc issues, this is really effective for, like, you know, herniated discs or bulge discs. Have seen some nightmarish MRIs come through that shockwave has fixed. That shockwave has prevented surgery of the back. It has prevented a lot of surgeries on meniscus here in the clinic and labrum of the shoulders and hips. I think almost every single labrum of the hip that has come through my office, I don't think we've lost any in the last 2 years to surgery. I think every one of them was fixed with shockwave and the treatments. Same thing with the back and herniated discs. Just not losing cases to surgery, just getting people better, getting them to avoid surgery. If we could do a couple $100 of treatment of shockwave and avoid a $10,000 surgery, I think that's one smart thing that we can do to help save the healthcare system. So I think these techniques coming out are really, really awesome. And what I would say is don't go cheap. You know, make sure that you research, you know, what machines the provider has. You don't just want to go somewhere where somebody got a $5,000 machine that's just not going to be effective. You definitely need to have a pretty stout machine. You kind of pay for what you get. You know, the machine should be pretty decently priced, and you can ask around what models are really, really good, but you don't want to go cheap on this one. You want to make sure that the strategies and the implementation is effective so that you're not wasting time and money. So I hope this episode was beneficial in terms of understanding the principle of shockwave and what it means. And it is markedly different than electrical impulse, like a stem, muscle stem. It is markedly different than, external perturbation like a massage gun. You know, this is something that is creating permanent changes within the tissue. And there is some research out there showing that, you know, if you throw a shockwave, treatment at somebody, it takes about 90 days to adapt to that stimulus. So this is a really, 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 you know, high intensity stimulus that your body takes time to adapt to. And the changes that it makes is permanent, so which is really, really fun. So if you have any questions on any of this, feel free to reach out and ask. And if you know anybody that's looking into this technique for something that's very difficult to overcome, then please send them this episode and give them some insight on how shockwave might be able to help them. Thank you guys for joining in for another episode. We are finishing up our studio soon, and we'll start to get our guests back. I know it's been a little bit boring with us kind of just doing these sort of haphazard episodes, but I also am sitting on a mountain of concepts that I want to just get out there, but also there's some fun guests that we just got to get on the show. and kind of flesh through some fun topics for 2026. So hang in there. We got a lot of fun stuff coming, and let's kind of make this a great start to 2026. All the best. Thank you.
Dr. Leo here. Be sure to check out my new book, Faster Without Fail, Your Guide to Overcoming Injuries and Running Faster Than Ever. It is now available on Amazon. You could read reviews on the Amazon. You can check out what other people have said about it. But basically, if you want to revolutionize your running form and better understand how to stay injury-free within the sport, this is your guide. Feel free to reach out and let us know what you think of the book. I would love to hear your feedback. But again, please check it out on Amazon. Faster Without Fail. Appreciate it. Dr. Leo here. If you want to catch me in another setting, be sure to check out my YouTube page, Running Rehab, where you will find exercises on how to stay healthy with running, how to improve your running form, and a bunch of other tips and tricks on how to get over common injuries.